Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
And now, not to cause further alarm, it is only a month to Christmas, and apparently tomorrow is the day you officially start making Christmas puddings and cakes. Have you got that in your list, Texter? You need to start making Christmas puddings tomorrow. So Grainne O'Keefe from May Restaurant is here with some tips. Hi, Grainne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So when I was a kid, right, from about this time now, there was a whole room in the house given over to Christmas cakes at various stages of stuff. And
how big was your house?
Marzipan and the good room, like, they were all on the table in there, kind of not to be touched. Not that anyone was touching them because, you know, kids don't like Christmas cake. I have not continued this tradition.
That must be a Southside thing.
It was a Cork thing, yeah. Did you not have a good room, no?
God, no, there was no good rooms.
Okay, I'm showing my privilege. We had a good room. We weren't allowed into it. So, but there are traditions around all of this kind of thing in Ireland, aren't there?
Yeah. So it actually, it's funny. So tomorrow's Stirrup Sunday and it's the fifth Sunday before Christmas. And it started in medieval times. Like, it's Christmas pudding wasn't actually what it is now. They used to make it and they used to actually have meat in it. So I don't know if you've ever seen that episode of Friends where, like, Rachel makes the trifle and then she mixes it up and there's, like, minced beef in it as well. Kind of.
No.
That's what I was imagining when I heard it. But so basically, it's 13 ingredients and it was to represent the Jesus and the 12 apostles. And it was for quite wealthy people. So spices back then were, you know, very expensive.
Okay.
And it was traditionally served with beef. It wasn't served as a dessert course. So that's why it was more of a condiment rather than an actual dessert.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So then it kind of changed. Like, it got less savoury and more sweet then as time went on. And then it became more of a dessert. And that's where the holly came into it and setting it on fire and it being more like at the end of a meal rather than serving it with the beef at the main course.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, to be honest, I've never been a big fan of Christmas pudding.
The two of us are sitting there thinking, when they got rid of it from the main course, they should have just left it at that.
They should have just got rid of
they
it completely.
No, this is too good to let go. Let's make a dessert out of it.
And I used to have a silver coin. I remember when I was younger, I used to get brack. You know, brack. I hated it. And I used to maul it to get the little ring out of it.
Yeah.
I go around thinking I was Mr. T, like, with loads of little tinfoil gold rings on me. And it was the same. And I have a theory that it's just to get kids to want to eat it. You know, put something in the middle of it so they have to really eat a lot of it. But it is a tradition. Some people do really like it.
And the soaking of the fruit in the booze, that has to start then tomorrow.
Is that
a kind of a long process?
Yeah, so basically, back in the day, they used to do it because it was a preservation method and they give it as gifts so it would last for months and, you know, they didn't
still
have...
Still does, like, it's a Christmas pudding and survived the nuclear war.
Last years, yeah. So that's why the alcohol was basically used as a preservation method, and then setting it on fire was set to represent the passion of Christ.
But in reality, to get rid of some of the booze that you've been pouring into
it. It's to burn off the alcohol. But, you know, I mean, setting it on fire is probably the best part.
Okay, no, we have to stop here.
Let's commit to Christmas pudding. Yeah, and you know, actually...
So the soaking of the booze, you soak it tomorrow then.
Yeah.
And does it have to soak then for ages?
No, so you soak it.
Yeah.
You steam it. And then you steam it again on Christmas Day.
You have to steam
it again just to get it out. I mean, it's very solid. And then when you're...
Stop now.
I don't know, of all the people you could have gotten to talk about this.
Stop. So you've given us a recipe for that.
Yeah.
But you've also given us an alternative, right?
Yeah.
Which, another thing that shouldn't really work.
Yeah.
But you think carrot cake could be a good alternative for people.
I love carrot cake. I do. But I prefer, like, homemade ones. I'm not a big fan of either. A bit dry when you get them into the shop.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a nice dessert to do if you're not a fan of Christmas pudding is to do like a Christmas spiced carrot cake. So, you know, you have your cinnamon, your nutmeg, your clove, just kind of going through the frosting and through the mix just to give it that kind of Christmassy taste, okay. But it's you know, a much sweeter, not like more standard dessert. Top tip when you're doing your Christmas pudding, when you're setting it on fire, is to heat up the alcohol first. It's not going to light if you pour cold whiskey or brandy on top. If you heat it up in a little pot, then you can light it on fire and you get that blue flame.
Okay.
And you can do all the theater stuff.
The best of the Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Top tip on making carrot cake for people who haven't done it before is your recipe is fairly comprehensive, but
yeah.
Any little tips people need to know?
Adding nuts into the mix is really nice. It gives it a nice little bit of texture. I like to do either pecan or hazelnuts or walnuts. And just, no, it's like, it's very simple. There's not really any kind of tips to it. Just to let it cool down before you frost it, obviously, because otherwise the frosting will just kind of slide off.
Well, obviously.
Well, yeah.
No,
surprised.
I'm joking. I did not know that. Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll put up the Christmas pudding recipe and tips, and we'll put up the carrot cake as well. Hi, Brendan. Christmas pudding made and gone via Dingle Post Office to San Francisco. It arrived there last Wednesday, only took 8 days delivery. I send one every year. They love the mammy's homemade pud. A little bit of Ireland on the big day. That's from Deirdre.
I feel kind of bad.
You see, no, the thing is, these things, Christmas cakes, puddings, everything, they can be the glue that holds families together down the generations and stuff as well. So
100%.
Let's end on a positive note about that. Ronnie O'Keefe, chef and owner of May Restaurant, thank you very much for
that
highly enlightening dissertation on Christmas puddings. So get mums, harried mums everywhere, get down to soaking fruit tomorrow. Now you can add that to your list.